This conference will now be recorded.
Well timed, Kelsey. Calling the Public Works Public Safety Committee meeting for Wednesday, July 22nd, 2020 to order. Myself, Andrew Plowman is here. We'll just go around. Councilmember Osmus.
Here.
Councilmember Nelson.
Here.
Councilmember Alvarado.
Here.
And we are joined also by a member from the West Central Tribune, along with our Public Works Director, Mr. Christensen. First item on our agenda tonight is Project 1902B, the East Side Drainage Phase 2 Bid Award. Mr. Christensen.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. In front of you tonight is, I'm going to expand the screen just a little bit, not to cover you guys up, but you can't see what I'm covering up anyway. So, it is to award project for the East Side Drainage, and I know some of you may have thought this would never come back to you. It is finally here. This is phase two, and potentially the last phase. We may have, no, that's not true. We may have one more phase of this, but this is a big portion of it. 1902B, East Side Drainage Improvements. Recommended action is to award that to Riley Brothers Construction in the amount of $212,350.80 and authorize signatures on the contract. A secondary motion would be to adopt a resolution approving the as-bid budget for the same project in the amount of $343,646. Would you like me to do the overview first, or would you like to enter the motion first?
Do we have that in front of us?
Yeah.
It came on an email?
Yeah, it was attached to the email that I received from Kelsey anyways.
Okay, I don't have.
It's in the Dropbox, Julie.
Yeah, I've got it in Dropbox.
But let's maybe just for the sake of being proper, you're looking for, you're looking for two separate motions here, Sean.
That's correct.
To Riley Brothers and one approving the budget.
That's correct.
Okay. Let's see if we can get some action or if there's a desire to take action, and then we will we'll go into details about each of those movements.
I would make a motion to approve Riley Brothers construction on the first part of this. And I would also do the a motion that would, and I can't read this, the resolution on my Dropbox. So if somebody could help me out, I would make that motion for the second part of this.
Let's do the first one first. We have a motion on the table for project number 1902B, authorizing Riley Brothers Construction, their bid in the amount of $212,350.80, and authorize signatures on the contract. Do we have a second?
I'll second it.
Okay, we have a motion and a second. Sean, you want to dive into detail about this a little bit?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. So, the city has requested, I can save that for the budgetary one. So this phase of the project installs additional storm drain for the outfall capacity and redirects existing catch basins into this new outfall. That'll further reduces potential flood flow into private facilities. This project, just as a reminder, has been called, you know, the Kuzman project, the Cambridge edition project, the Landmark edition project. It's been called a number of different things in order to drive the point home that this is a public project for public infrastructure. It's now been rebranded East Side Drainage Improvements. And so that's, if that helps with some of the confusion. This phase is part of a larger regional project and will aid in alleviation of this occasional stormwater flooding for residents in the area, which is why we can use sales tax funds to pay for this project, because it is regional, because it was done after the vote, and because of all of those other pseudo-political issues requiring us to wait on some of those funding, spend down some of that funding. Bids for this project were opened on July 15th, and believe it or not, we opened 12 bids for this project, which was the most I'd had in quite a while until I opened for the water line, which we'll see later. So very impressive, very good bids. And Riley Brothers, that $212,000 was the low bid, and it was significantly less than our estimate.
Okay, looks good. Yeah, that being the case, out of those 12 bids, that's quite a spread, and especially when compared to the project estimate, even came underneath the project estimate. And is it correct that Bolton and Mink provided that construction estimate dollar figure?
Yes, I will say they did provide that estimate, and of course, all of our projects have been coming in, all but one have been coming in under the estimate this year. And I think contractors are in an interesting situation at this, you know, currently trying to fill schedules and things of that nature. And I think we're seeing some pretty good bids because of it.
Okay, this is good. All right, does anybody have questions from the committee who want to start off? And I think, you know, we're going to have to take action on this motion before we can accept any new motions. So if you have financial questions, I guess we're going to have to just discuss them now. Audrey, I saw your hand. Go ahead.
My question was just, we've worked with Riley Construction before, Riley Brothers Construction, but I'm remembering the name, but I'm not remembering the projects.
Well, they're currently in town working on 6th Street Northeast. So they just started that here this week. Hey, if you can excuse me one second, Brian's calling for the second time.
Yeah, I think we got a couple different contractors working in town. We have Dunnix is currently working in town. Riley's on the northeast side. Over here on the northwest side by the apartments, that's Land Pride. Looks like they were the second runner up in this, or they were the runner up in this bid. But yeah, they got crews out there. The only thing that I had, I guess, really had concerns on, I like where the numbers came in. And especially the estimates that it's at. It's just I wanted to go over the financial piece, I guess. Sean, anything urgent or immediate?
No, he's trying to log in and couldn't log in, so he's wondering if the meeting was over already. So I just recently. So we'll try it.
Okay. Audrey, did you have anything besides the question regarding Riley Brothers? Any other questions? If you don't have other questions, we're just going to go ahead and vote on this bad boy. Okay, go ahead, Fernando.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I was just wondering now, what's the timeline on this? When do they anticipate getting started and finishing up?
Well, of course, we won't have a scheduling or a pre-construction meeting until after they get approved for the project, but it will be done this fall. In fact, the reason this one and the federal path came up in the same time frame or rough time frame is that part of this storm line has to be under the new federal path. And so this will have to go in before the federal path project gets completed along the highway. So I would look for this to happen shortly, like in the next couple of months.
Great. Thank you. Like you alluded to, it's exciting that this is spiraling towards an end. So that's good to see.
Go ahead, Julie.
Okay, so will this eliminate the need, like if we have a heavy rainfall, some of the stopgap measures we were doing before, like putting some of the barriers around the gutters, what we call the drains, the catch basins. Are we still needing to do that in heavy rains, or is some of that problem getting eliminated?
Kind of depends on who you ask. I don't think those measures accomplished what some of the people putting them there thought they would. So the short answer would be yes, this should eliminate the need to do any of those other temporary measures. They shouldn't need to pump the pond anymore. Or pre-pump the pond. They shouldn't need to try to bypass catch basins, any of those natures or any of those things in nature. And so that's the idea of this whole project, was so that those items would go away.
Okay, so in layman's terms, the issue before is they were saying that the water was overflowing and then coming into the Koosman Pond. We're now going to be able to redirect that water to go someplace else?
Correct. Okay. Phase one eliminated one set of pipes going into the pond, and so that started the process of eliminating. Basically, the pond is 100%, or should be 100% isolated from the public system now, and so the only water going into the pond is private development pond water or runoff. And so the first time we cut off the lines, that should have eliminated any public water going through those pipe system to get into the pond, and this will continue that by eliminating a few more catch basins.
I cover your question, Julie? Okay. Audrey, go ahead.
I'm going to ask a question just to clarify, but it was my understanding that that was not the city that was redirecting water, that was the private parties that were redirecting water. Am I correct?
That is correct. And also the point of contention that we argued about for many years. So that's been my contention all along, is that the private party was their own worst enemy. And their contention all along was that they were not. So that's obviously oversimplified, but that's why we are where we are now. And so generally, yes, I would agree with your statement.
So when this project is said and done, I think we'll have good standing, and you can agree or disagree, but it appears to me as we'll have good standing that not only in that immediate area, but also the surrounding area, this will redress the stormwater issues as a whole in that part of town, and give us good solid basis for being able to say that property is isolated from the from any surge from any municipal systems.
Absolutely.
And that is what we want. Any other questions before we vote on the first portion of this? Okay, we'll go ahead and vote. Those in favor, I'll call your name specifically. Councilmember Alvarado.
Aye.
Councilor Osmus.
Aye.
Councilor Nelson.
Aye.
And Councilor Plowman votes aye as well. That's 4 ayes, 0 nays. That was awarding project 1902B Eastside Drainage Improvements to Riley Brothers Construction in the amount of $212,350.80 and authorizing signatures on the contract. That motion passes. Now we are looking for a motion adopting the resolution approving the as-bid budget for the project 1902B Eastside Drainage Improvements in the amount of $343,646. Do we have a motion?
You have a motion.
Looking for a second?
I'll second it.
Okay, we have a motion and a second. Any discussion regarding the budget portion of this?
Mr. Chair, if I may, and this may answer some of the questions ahead of time. The reason this is different if that was a question, is that this adds the engineering and contingencies to the bid cost, which gives us the total amount for the budget.
Okay, and I'm just taking some time to read over the sheet here, but in the meantime, I see Julie. Julie, go ahead.
And I know this is probably still back to the previous motion, the previous issue, and the engineering piece. Okay, so if the water isn't going to go into the Koosman Pond, is it going to go into that drainage ditch over by Taco Bell and south of Kmart, or is some of it going to go into that little drainage ditch out in Pheasant Run that's by the path? Kind of north of Fagerly.
Would you believe neither?
Okay.
Oh, let's guess.
This water goes into, and forgive me, I don't know the branch numbers or letters or designations, but the ditch that runs from basically where the county public works building is by Dairy Queen through the golf course, this dumps into that ditch, which ultimately ends up in Grass Lake, ultimately ends up in the same spot those other locations you mentioned end up. But this will dump in at the head end of that ditch right out the highway.
Is that the one we were looking at? We were gonna have to bore underneath everything to get to?
Yep, where we're gonna have to bore under part of the golf course. That was the other option. This one does that option.
Okay. I was just wondering if we were impacting any other neighborhoods that if it comes back to bite us, that we voted in favor of now being an issue for their neighborhoods. Okay.
No, this should not.
Okay, thank you.
Go ahead, Audrey.
Okay. I'm just trying to remember the engineering part. And I thought that phase one was to be paid differently than phase two. Could you clarify that for me?
Yeah, so this includes engineering for both phases. So phase one was constructed by Crow River in the amount of $52,000 and change. The estimate for phase two, this one was $222,000, so it came in $10,000 under that estimate. But the engineering for both phases is $110,000, which is included in this budget. Does that clarify it, or did
is that what we agreed to? I think just the concern that whatever we did in phase one was not supposed to be sales tax, and whatever we did in phase two is going to be. That's where I'm at, but I'm still questioning that. So.
Yep, which is why the construction for phase one was not included in the sales tax. We had to pay for that one out of our line item budgets.
But engineering, we're okay.
That answer your question, Audrey?
I'm not sure. I'm trying to remember when we had the conversation, just the concern about the separation of what we had agreed to do, we didn't do, but we still had to pay for it. So that's why I'm still a little confused with the engineering. I mean, we paid for phase one, but the engineering for phase one we're paying for now.
That's correct.
Yeah, I believe I remember that specific discussion that we were not allowed, or that we had to fund the actual construction itself, but professional services, because it was all for the same project, the professional services portion, we were going to be able to pay for as lump sum for all of it. Now, Sean, how would that work if there's a phase three?
Well, phase three, of course, has not been contracted or conceptualized at this point. And so it would all be eligible for sales tax if that's what you're asking, because it's concept at best now anyway.
So upon completion, this will fully execute or fully fulfill the contract, the current contract with Bolton & Mink?
That's correct.
Okay, everybody in a position where they think they can vote? Silence means yes. By consent, I guess. Okay, we have a motion on the table to adopt a resolution. Let me get it right in front of us again. Adopting the resolution approving the as-bid budget for project 1902B Eastside Drainage Improvements in the amount of $343,646. We'll go around the room. Councilman Alvarado?
Yes.
Councilwoman Osmus?
Yes.
Councilwoman Nelson?
Yes.
Councilman Plowman votes yes as well. That's 4 ayes, 0 nays. That motion does pass as well. Thank you for the information on that, Sean. I'm sure we'll get updates regarding the calendar down the line. We're going to skip over 1904, and we're going to go on to the 2001-C Trunk Highway 12 West Water Main Replacement Bid Award. Go ahead, Mr. Christensen.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Let me get that one called up here. In front of you is the Trunk Highway 12 West Water Main Replacement Project. Again, and you'll see a common theme for tonight's agenda, all awarding of bids. So this one is the bid, or the apparent low goes to GF Dedlicki Incorporated, if I pronounce that right. If not, I apologize. In the amount of $330,552.50. And of course, this first recommended action would also authorize signatures on the contract. This is for the water line that runs from roughly 19th Street, you know, out there by Coca-Cola, out west to County Road 5.
All right. Yeah, we've had a little bit of discussion. We kind of knew that this one was coming. Big bite to chew off, but Sean, refresh us. What was the original? Wasn't there an original dollar value on this? Somewhere around $800,000.
So that gets a little confusing. Years ago, when the Y was still in its infancy, we had to estimate all the utility costs to relocate for the entire project. Well, so what happens is everybody puts a bid in or puts an estimate in and then jacks up the price because you don't know how many years it's going to be before you do it. And then you pass it to the next guy who takes your numbers and jacks it up again. And so the original agreement, and if you'll recall, this is the one that MEC did not want to sign, the city ended up signing, was like $1.3 million. Okay, so that was for this crossing of the new Highway 12, the crossing of County Road 5, the crossing of the new First Avenue at the old Highway 12, and it was a large scope. Okay, at that point, we were told there's no way the cost is ever going to be that high, but we need to wait for the bids for the contractor to see what they actually are. Bids for the contractor came in and said, that's not 1.3, it's closer to 800,000 or 8, whatever it was, which made everybody feel good because we were also splitting some of that cost with MUC, obviously the water portion. And so everybody said, let's go ahead and go forward. And as we get closer to the actual projects, it'll probably be even less than that. Okay, so all of that was kind of lumped into this project that started out as a crossing of the new highway only. What this does is it takes that crossing, which has been done already, by the way, and connects the dots back to new line that we've already put in the ground. Because this section of line from MUC has a significant amount of breaks, and it's quite a main trunk line, if you will, to connect the loops or add to the loops in the system. So this may or may not have been exactly like this as a scope in that 800,000 or the 1.3 million, but either way, this portion came in. I thought I had in here what our original estimate was. It came in under the estimate as well. I cannot remember I'd have to find that number to find out exactly how much under the estimate. But again, we opened 9 bids, and so that's it makes a person feel real good that you're getting good legitimate numbers.
Okay, I'll make the motion to award the bid for project 2001C US Trunk Highway 12 West Water Main Replacement to GF Jedlicki Inc. in the amount of $330,552.50 and authorize signatures on the contract.
I'll second that.
Okay, thank you. We have a motion and a second authorizing that award for the bid of $330,552.50 to GF, I believe it's Jedlicki from when I've heard it in the past. Looks good to me. Any further questions? Looking at this, Sean, a pretty simple breakdown. 165, 276 from the city, the same amount from MUC, and we will bond for 66,000 just for the soft cost and then the contingency funds.
That's correct. And I just got people listening in that are watching my back. Kelsey, this time the estimate was 335,000, by the way. So
hey, another one that we're right underneath. I like the trend. Let's try to keep that up. Okay, any further questions before we vote on awarding the actual bid itself? Go ahead, Audrey.
I'm just curious, the industrial park funds, I was trying to remember how much was in there. Why we were bonding for engineering and contingencies and not just taking the funds out of the industrial park fund.
That may be a great question for tomorrow's meeting with you, right? I don't know. I don't know the answer to that. I'd have to ask Steve that answer. I don't know.
I was trying to remember what was in that fund and I don't remember. So I can ask the question tomorrow too. Yeah.
Not to blame her, but to praise her, 167.5 is what I'm getting from Kelsey and left in the industrial park funds.
Okay, so that's why.
That's why.
Great, thank you very much.
There we go. Okay, any other questions before we vote on the awarding of this bid? Okay, we'll go ahead and we have a motion and a second to award it to GF Jedlicki in the amount of $330,552.50. Councilmember Alvarado.
Aye.
Councilmember Osmus.
Aye.
Councilmember Nelson.
Aye.
Councilmember Plowman votes aye. That's 4 ayes, 0 nays.
You're on mute, Andrew.
How long was I on mute?
right after you voted.
Oh, okay. Well, that motion passes. I guess I was clicking over to my other window, but I must have smashed a button with my fingers here. Anyways, that motion passes. And now we are looking for action on the resolution approving the as-bid budget.
I'll make a motion.
I'll second that.
Okay, we have a motion and a second.
You did it again.
Now I know what I'm doing. I'm turning down my volume so that it doesn't feedback and it's actually muting the thing. I'm not going to press that button anymore. Okay, we have a motion and a second approving the as-bid budget for 2001-C in the amount of $396,664. Any questions before we vote? Seeing and hearing none, Councilmember Alvarado.
Aye.
Councilmember Osmus.
Aye.
Councilmember Nelson.
Aye.
Councilmember Plowman votes aye. That's 4 ayes, 0 nays. I'm still unmuted. That motion passes. And on to our next item. Let me jump around on the agenda. We will be discussing Rack 8, City Hall, and the auditorium heating system bid awards. Please go ahead, Mr. Christensen.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. In front of you, and I hope more all-inclusive than I was prepared for a few meetings ago, is three different motions that adopt three different resolutions for the three different buildings. Starting with the first one I've got on the list there, is starting with Rack 8, with adopt a resolution that enters it into an agreement with Chapel Central for the Rack 8 heating system, the amount of $24,344, and included with that is King's Electric bid for the amount of $2,076.16. It also, this one is the most confusing one, also reappropriates $15,000 from the City Hall operating budget to fund the additional cost of a natural gas heating system for the Rack 8 building.
Does the committee have an appetite to move on this first motion?
I'll make a motion to accept those bids.
Second.
All right, we have a motion and a second, entering into an agreement with Chapel Central for the Rack 8 heating system, also King's Electric, and reappropriating $15,000 from the City Hall operating budget to fund the additional cost of the natural gas. Discussion. Go ahead, Fernando.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. When is this going to get started?
The fact that we will not have heat for this winter, if it doesn't, it will go in the next couple months.
Okay. Yeah, well, that's what I'm concerned about.
That'd be the same answer for all three of these bids.
Okay. I'm going to guess that Chapel's probably pretty busy right now, so hopefully these are priorities for them so that our people are warm come November, December, and January. Okay, thank you.
John, I assume that we're able to award a bid to multiple contractors. Is King's like acting as a sub underneath Chapel?
No, what happened was we quoted these out because they're all under the, you know, the 175. And so all of the bids that came in for the boiler system itself excluded or did not include the electrical. And so the city in this case is kind of acting as the general. And so we're hiring Chapel and then we're hiring King's separately to do the electrical work in conjunction with Chapel on the boiler work.
Okay, and I just like, you know, just for clarification's sake, because we kind of make some of these policy changes, but sometimes we don't look back and actually see the net effect of the policy change. In your opinion, in a situation like this, is this a good example highlighting why it's probably advantageous for the city and staff to be able to operate like this? I mean, do you think that if we would have had to use a different procedure that our quoting process could have been different or the results may have been different?
I guess I'm not following your question entirely, Andrew.
I just mean in terms of being able to do the quoting process as opposed to the bid process, you know, how we change things around to follow state standard, and I guess the dollar amount or the ceiling was raised because there are certain scenarios in which the bidding process is better. I see Brian's hand up, so I'll let him do some talking.
In this particular situation, it probably didn't make any difference whatsoever, other than the fact that if we really followed state statute, both the Rack 8 and the City Hall heating system would have come underneath the $25,000. Therefore, we could have gone to any vendor. But in our best interest, we go out and we give all of the vendors that want to an opportunity to bid on it and or give us a quote And so the hope is that it's more beneficial for us. Now, if you add the electrical on to the heating system, we would be over the 25,000, which then would actually require quotes, which is what we did anyway. So I think the reason you're seeing the electrical on there is because I didn't want the city council to approve a $24,000 heating system conversion and then find out that it costs $28,000. Well, how come it costs more? I wanted all the parts of the conversion to be included in this, and that's why electrical is brought in. So there are no surprises. You know, that we know that the heating system is required, and some of us may have thought the electrical was included in the bid. Some thought it was, you know, maybe it wasn't. So this takes it out of the quest, out of the confusion area, and it's just, here's the heating system, here's the electrical that's required above and beyond just providing the system. And now we actually have a total cost for the Rack 8 in the City Hall and the auditorium. So
that's great. Thanks, Brian. Yeah, I like having all those dollar amounts there in the same spot, because it kind of gives you a big package price all at once. You don't get this nickel and dime effect. I'm following you there. I think that's good. Go ahead, Audrey.
I'm good with the with all of it. Just a procedural question, since they are three separate different transactions, we're still okay doing them as one resolution?
I think we're going to do three resolutions. The first one is entering the agreement with go ahead.
That's not what I meant. I mean, we've got the first resolution is for Rack 8, but it's three different things that we're doing. The contract with Chapel, the contract with Kings, and then a budget adjustment. I'm just asking if we can all do those all in one resolution.
If we can't, I'm just going to blame Brian.
I wouldn't do it in one resolution because there are separate contracts. The first one is you're ending in a contract with King. Well, I guess they are. Yeah, I would still do them separate. Keep it nice and clean.
Historically, we were able to do one, but if you'd rather do them separate, we can do that.
So, Brian, you're suggesting, and I don't care, whatever you want to do, you're suggesting breaking each project, breaking the separate contracts all apart, or the separate actions?
I would just do the motion and second to adopt a resolution for each one of the projects.
Yeah, that's how it currently is right now.
Just as it is right now. Yeah.
And my only question then, Sean, there's the reappropriation on this one, but I noticed there's no reappropriation of funds for the other ones. So the reappropriation in this first instance, that kind of takes care of it?
Correct. It's the only budget that did not have enough in there for this quote.
Got it. Okay. Any further questions before we start the voting process? Okay, we have a motion on the table and a second, entering into an agreement with Chapel Central for the Rack 8 heating system in the amount of $24,344, King's Electric in the amount of $2,076.16, and reappropriating $15,000 from the City Hall operating budget to fund the cost of a natural gas heating system being installed at the Rack 8 building. How do you vote, Councilmember Alvarado?
Aye.
Councilmember Osmus?
Aye.
Councilmember Nelson?
Aye.
Councilmember Plowman votes aye. That's 4 ayes, 0 nays. That motion passes. The next item would be regarding the bids. Same thing, but for City Hall. And the amounts, the dollar amounts that we have here, $21,321 for Chapel, and the electrical on that, it's going to run $417.18. Does anyone care to make any actions on this?
I would make a motion to adopt the resolution entering into an agreement with Chapel Central Inc. for the City Hall heating system in the amount of $21,321, and King's Electric LLC for the electrical work in the amount of $417.18.
I'll second that.
All right, we have a motion and a second regarding the heating system at City Hall. Further discussion on this one before voting? Go ahead, Audrey.
So the City Hall is just a boiler, so it's not an upgrade in the air handling system or anything like that, right?
Correct.
Okay, thank you.
Any other questions? Okay, with that, we'll vote. Councilmember Alvarado.
Aye.
Councilmember Osmus.
Aye.
Councilmember Nelson.
Aye.
Councilmember Plowman votes aye. That's 4 ayes, 0 nays. That motion passes. Finally, on this particular project, we're looking at the auditorium heating system, and this one would be awarding the agreement, or entering into the agreement rather, with Plumbing and Heating of Wilmer in the amount of $42,989, and King's Electric for the electrical portion, $794.93. Does the committee wish to act on this one?
I'll make the motion to enter into the contracts with Plumbing and Heating of Wilmer and King's Electric.
Second.
All right, we have a motion and a second addressing the auditorium heating system and awarding those bids. Any further questions before we vote? Seeing and hearing none, we will vote. Councilmember Alvarado.
Aye.
Councilmember Nelson, or Osmus, sorry.
Aye.
Councilmember Nelson. Audrey.
Aye.
Okay, and Councilmember Plowman votes aye. It's 4 ayes, 0 nays. That motion passes. Sorry, I'm trying to go in the same rotation on my screen here, so as to not get confused. All right. Checking our agenda, now we will be discussing the Orange Field underground wiring and lighting electrical services. And I'm guessing Rob, I remember seeing something about him being out. So I guess this one's yours, Sean. Go ahead.
Yes, sir, thank you, Mr. Chair. In front of you is much easier than the last few we looked at. This one is Orange Field underground wiring and lighting electrical services to Wilmer Electric Service in the amount of $30,500. And if you recall, this is also one that's in addition to the Musco lighting bids that you've previously talked about.
Okay, let's see, I got, we basically action recommended is awarding the Orange Field underground wiring and electrical to Wilmer Electric Service in the amount of $30,500. Just reading through some of the budgetary CIP, we were at 315. We authorized 213 for the lights, 60 for installing the lights, and then this 35 would complete the electrical on the entire thing. And that seems to match up with what I remember. Any other questions from the committee? Go ahead, Audrey. Oh, yeah. Does anybody want to make action on this before we discuss?
I'll make that motion.
Second.
Okay, we have a motion and a second. Go ahead, Audrey.
I'm just questioning the timing of it, since the Swanson Fields has not gone through the local option sales tax with the design and approval, et cetera. So I think they've settled on Orange, but nothing has really gone through any of the committees regarding Swanson Fields. So just curious about the approval of this before the rest of it's approved.
Well, again, this might be a better question for Rob, but I'll take a stab at it. I think this number stays the same regardless of where those lights go, which is also why you've already talked about the Musco lights already. So the lights are being ordered, the wiring's being ordered, everything's being ordered. and waiting for that final decision. And I agree with you. I think they've decided on Orange, but it has not gone through the entire process yet. That was, by the way, one of the conversations we were going to have at a special next week meeting, which is not going to happen in case you hadn't heard yet. Architect's not quite ready with that yet. So I think it's fine to approve it, even though, because it's not going in the ground right away, and the numbers won't change regardless of how that happens.
I think also looking at these items, and I see you both there, so I'll call them both of you, but if we know we're going to do it and we can get it locked in, it's probably pretty good, because this stuff is getting exponentially more expensive really fast in different areas of the country. And I'm hearing instances where manufacturers are actually going back on contracts specifically for sports and rec type equipment and stuff. So yeah, I think getting this locked in is good if we know we're going to need it regardless. Brian?
Yeah, it's my understanding that the lights are not going to have any impact on the actual development of Orange. The lights are far enough back, so if they move the fence up, it has no impact. It just was one of those things that I think early on they said, well, we'll coordinate the lights and the field development. But in the end, they went, the location of the lights doesn't matter. It doesn't matter if it's 10, 15 feet this way or the other way. So I think that's why they decided they want to go ahead with it, because it's just one thing out of the way and you don't have to worry about it, because it has no impact on lighting the field per se. Other than it's there, but the actual projected development of Orange should not impact the lighting. So there's no conflict between the two projects. So it should be okay.
Okay, thanks, Brian. Audrey, did you have another question?
Well, I just was going to comment, because it wasn't that long ago that we were told that, as we thought we had already ordered the lights, that we were told that the lights had been put on hold. And so, you know, just the reality of if something changed and they would do something different, we wouldn't have money to put lights on Blue. And so I'm just curious with the timing of it, and I think it makes sense that the Swanson Field Local Option Sales Tax Group is, if they're okay with this or not, or why we were just doing it now. So,
John, do you know? You said that'd be a better question for Rob, and I wish he was available to answer it. But had you received any feedback from him regarding that, or any potential conflicts there?
No, the last feedback I had is that they're going forward with Orange, and that these lights would be in the correct location, or in the existing location, if you will, to replace the ones that are there. So I think they're going forward with Orange. I think that's going to be the recommendation. We'll see if the committees continue with that, but that's the indications I've been getting from Rob.
Go ahead, Audrey.
Just think it might be appropriate before I'm fine with going ahead with it, but just for clarification at the city council meeting with how this is working. So, because that meeting was canceled because they weren't ready, is what was stated in the cancellation. So, I guess I'd just like clarification on that.
Go ahead, Brian.
I think we lump these two projects together, and they're really two separate projects. The local option sales tax is a different project than the lighting. Its funding source is not sales tax. And so I think that's where the, I don't want to say some of the confusion is that we're going to go ahead with Blue and we're going to do Orange. Yeah, well, the lighting thing is actually its own project. And if it's coming through Rob, that would have been the direction that they want to go, that they've indicated we want the lights on Orange. We can definitely clarify that for the council meeting, and Rob will be back from vacation, and we can go from there. But I'm believing that he's taken his direction from the Swanson Field Group, that this is what they want to do. And it's just that the development of the Swanson Field local option sales tax isn't ready. But that doesn't mean that the lighting isn't ready. So, but we can verify that for the council meeting.
Thanks, Brian. Yeah, and if we decide to go forward, that is always something that we can bring up and discuss further before voting at the council level, but at least it's this far so that if we vote in approval, then we can continue on. Go ahead, Julie.
I thought that Mary Sawatsky did clarify that they had made that decision to go ahead with the Orange Field at the last Invest in Wilmer meeting. That when she gave the overview, we had the overview of all the different committees. I thought she did say they were going ahead with Orange, so I thought that was clear.
Audrey, I saw your hand up as well.
Yeah, I remember her stating that. It's just they haven't gone through the whole process of that. I do completely understand that these lights are a separate city project versus the local option sales tax project. I guess just the point that I would have is that if something changed and we spend the $315,000 on Orange, we do not have $315,000 to put lights on Blue. And so I think that, you know, with that, if it's all good to go, that was just my question. I just know that the meeting was canceled because they aren't ready. So I was simply asking for clarification.
Okay, fair enough. And I think almost duly noted from some of us that, yeah, that if these are separate projects, we want to respect the process, but I also do, I'm putting faith and trust that both our department director and our administrator are saying that that we're good to go on these. Therefore, I trust we're good to go on these. And if there's further discussion to arise at the council meeting, so be it. Let's go ahead and have that discussion, get more detail out of Rob, but in the meantime, I'm comfortable. Further questions before we vote? Okay, well, we have a motion and a second awarding the Orange Field Underground Wiring and Lighting Electrical Services to Wilmer Electric Service in the amount of $30,500. Let's go ahead and vote. Councilmember Alvarado.
Aye.
Councilmember Osmus.
Aye.
Councilmember Nelson.
Aye.
Councilmember Plowman votes aye. 4 ayes, 0 nays. That motion passes. And looking back at our agenda, the only other item that we had was the number two item, which we were going to throw on last, Project 1904, the Federal Path Bid Award. Mr. Christensen.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. In front of you is a federal path, which has been a long time coming, and it's federal funding guidelines and rules and timing. And so this money was not available until this year, which is why this project has been appear to have been delayed, put it that way. The two motions for you tonight. One is to award the project to Crow River Construction in the amount of $539,288. And here's the big point we need to make, and which is what I was waiting for Jared. I'm sorry, with Colton make. Still waiting to hear from the Office of Civil Services at MnDOT. MnDOT has to approve, I think that's what he called it, Office of Civil Rights, I'm sorry. MnDOT has to approve all of this because it's federal funded. Okay, so this motion or this may change by the time you see it at the council meeting. So tonight we're awarding to the low bidder, which is Crow River, $539,288, contingent upon MnDOT's concurrence and authorizing the signatures on this contract.
Okay, so as long as we include that contingency within our motion, that keeps us safe?
In my opinion, yes.
Do I get
because
a second?
I've heard,
from our administrator?
I'm sorry, I've heard from a number of people that sometimes these concurrence from MnDOT can take some time.
Brian, thoughts on it?
Yeah, I don't have any issues with that. You could even say the apparent low bidder if you really wanted to. That way, you know, if something changes, you've got something to fall back on. What I would just want to identify is that the as-bid project budget looks to me like it's the duplicate for the earlier agenda item, and so we really don't have a project budget. John, can you verify that? I mean, it's got a budget.
Yeah, the attachment, that's the wrong attachment.
Yeah. We can have the correct attachment for the city council meeting, yep. But the $343,000 doesn't jive with your $539,000 or, you know.
Correct.
Yes, yeah, 751.
The budget will be $751,443.
And that is on the CAR form. I was just going to ask if the dollar values on the CAR form, where our motions are or our recommended actions are, if those are correct, and especially underneath the budgetary portion of it, the last paragraph there. I do the math, $210,000 and $541,443. That does equal $751,443. Is that number correct?
That is correct.
Okay. Well, those are the numbers we want to pay attention to, I assume.
Yeah, I think the issue for me is to so that everybody's aware of where the money's coming from. Sean, do you have recollection of what that should be? Is it coming from bonding? Is it coming from reserve account? What's your source of money?
Yeah, this one here is the one bid we've opened this year that is over our estimate. And so this one here, I've talked to Steve, had some preliminary conversations with Mr. Oakens, and so we are going to have to find some funds for this one. And there are a couple different pots. Obviously, we've had a lot of these other projects that have come in under, and so we've got a couple different options to bring to borrow, if you will, and reappropriate some of those funds for this particular project. And I can have some more of that information. Options, if you will, up to council, since we have to wait for the contingent on MnDOT concurrence anyway, or whichever the committee determines.
Man, Kelsey is fast. Dang, she's out there in electronic land, just typey, typey, clicky, clicky, and before he's even done talking, we got new number. This is amazing. Girl needs a promotion. Okay, anyways.
Who said that?
I know.
The other option we have that I'm waiting, I have not heard back for yet, is Bolton and Mink is currently in conversations with MnDOT to see if there's a possibility of some more state funds for projects that maybe didn't happen this year or are not going to happen this year. And so there's a possibility of getting a few more state dollars. I don't have the answer for that, obviously, yet, but I can put a couple more options in under that budgetary and fiscal issues for the council form, if you wish.
Yeah, it would be nice to have further discussion, but I understand the need to be timely because we don't know what's coming around the bend as far as these other projects, and we do see some need for timing correlation. As you mentioned, the East Side Drainage Project is going to kind of correlate with some of the work being done here.
Well, in this particular one, with it being federal funds, we have to begin spending on these federal funds by September of this year.
Spend it or lose it. Fernando, did you have your hand up? You're muted. That's a taste of my own medicine right there.
I was going to say, I took a page out of your book, Andrew. Now, where MnDOT's got to approve this to get the funds, I'm understanding. Is there anything that we have to do as a city to encourage that this goes through or anything like that? Or we just say, here's our stuff and you guys review it and yes or no? is there anything like that that we have to politicize, so to speak, to promote our cause, or how does that work?
You know, I don't think so at this point, because this project's been a long time coming, and you know, been designed, been planned out. I've been to, over the last couple of years, been to meetings with the federal, you know, agencies and the state, and it's been in the statewide CIP, or they call it ATIP, Area Transportation Improvement Projects, I think is what they call that. So I think everything else is in order, but it's also the reason we've got Bolton and Mink employed to do this, and so that they can help us, you know, dot our I's and
yeah. Okay. Well, I mean, to get this far, we just want, you would think, it almost sounds like it should be rubber stamped. But anyways, okay, thank you.
And maybe it is. Maybe it's like what I got in the mail, that I'm pre-approved for such and such a loan, and you just got to get the paperwork and boom, clickety-clack, it goes. We are looking for a motion awarding project 1904, the federal path, to Crow River Construction, the amount of $539,288, contingent on MnDOT concurrence and authorizing signatures on the contract itself. Does anybody wish to take that action?
I will make that motion. Oh, go ahead, Audrey.
Let Audrey have one.
Audrey got that one. We'll award that motion to her, and Fernando with the second. Any further questions before we vote on the actual awarding of the contract? Okay, we'll go ahead and vote. Councilmember Alvarado.
Aye.
Councilmember Osmus.
Aye.
Councilmember Nelson.
Aye.
And Councilmember Plowman votes aye. That's 4 ayes, 0 nays. That motion passes. We are now looking for action, adopting the resolution, approving the as-bid budget for project number 1904, the federal path, in the amount of $751,443. Any action?
I'll do that one too.
We have a motion and a second, adopting that resolution. Any questions before we vote? Let's go to Brian.
Yeah, I would just request that maybe for the council action form, that we identify, other than just we're getting the funds from somewhere, that we probably have them a little bit more identified, so the city council knows what fund it's coming from, and we know the total. If we can get some more money from somewhere else, that's great, but if we're going to enter into the contract, we should have an understanding of it's coming from fund 714, you know, that, you know, we just need, I think the council needs to know that. So Sean, when we put the council action form together, we should probably identify what fund, how much is in the fund, how much is left when we're done, that sort of thing.
Will do.
Okay, if everybody's cool with that, and that's, I believe that's a good idea. Thank you. It makes us more thorough, dotting our I's, crossing our T's, and more prepared for the council meeting, so we can make a well-informed decision. Before we take action, any further questions, comments, or concerns? Okay, let's vote. Councilmember Alvarado. Oh, nope, let's not. Don't answer. Councilmember Osmus, go ahead.
No, we haven't voted on this one. Are we voting to leave?
No, we're adopting the resolution approving the budget.
Got it. Sorry.
I'm not going to just quick dip on you. I see you got your hand up this time.
Yeah.
All right. We're going to go ahead and vote on this resolution for the 1904 federal path. Councilmember Alvarado.
Aye.
Councilmember Osmus.
Aye.
Councilmember Nelson.
Aye.
Councilmember Plowman votes aye. That's 4 ayes, 0 nays. That motion does pass. And that ends our formal agenda for the night. Nice to see everybody. Good night. Just kidding, Councilmember Osmond.
Okay.
This is almost fun. Okay, go ahead.
Question. Okay, I did bump into Gary Manzer at Ramblewood Park today, and I asked him about mosquito spraying. I'm getting some questions about it, and I'm seeing some Facebook chatter. What's our decision on that, or what's the thoughts?
You mean like whether or not how we're going to do it, or whether or not the stuff we're spraying causes us to grow other limbs?
No, whether or not we're going to do it at all this season. What's the slap count? Do we need to do it, or are we going to do it?
Sean, you're up.
Unless I hear otherwise from this body or the entire council, my intention is to do as we've done every year, and as the slap count gets to that magic number, which I can't remember what that is off the top of my head, nor do I want to be the guy doing it, we will be spraying. Now, where we'll save some this year, because I know I've reported in the past what that costs per spraying or per time, and I can bring that back to committee if you would like me to report on that again. But last year, of course, or in previous years rather, we've sprayed large events, Rockin' Robins, Wilmerfest and things of that nature, which of course did not happen this year. And so those spraying opportunities have not happened. But yes, as those counts increase, my intention is to spray. We have not yet.
Go ahead, Fernando.
What's the status of the pool?
Status of the pool is, good news and bad news. I'm not sure which one you want first. I'll start with the good based on knowledge the council has so far. The drain leak, I think I reported that had been found and that we were in contact with some stainless steel welders. That has been taken care of, has been welded, and I can't remember, maybe as recently as, no, it was yesterday, I believe, because I think we were putting water in the pool today to test that. So the pool itself, hopefully this time is good, and we should be good to go on that, both with the curing of the coating that we did right at the beginning of the year, and then the repairs that we've found since then. So the pool itself is good. Bad news is related to the building itself. The building has significant block damage on the structure itself that is well beyond tuck pointing. We thought it would require tuck pointing. We've had some people that actually lay block, and it's well beyond that. And so we're in the initial stages of figuring out what that's going to take, and maybe getting some estimates on what it'll take to repair that building. But the short answer is that the weep holes may not be in the correct location of some of those block to protect all the block. And so we've got some block that is deteriorating, and that the blocks that are deteriorating are at the base of the building. And so very infancy stages of figuring this out, and more information to come on that.
Well, it sounds like maybe Rob is on a much needed vacation, because I think, some of those items would, as that stuff comes up, it's unforeseen, unexpected, and can't be pinned on an individual. So I definitely empathize with, sometimes you just got to roll with the punches, right?
Well, and I don't know that Rob even knows this yet. I was out at Public Works today and just heard it. So it's brand new.
Well, then you got to leave some fireworks for him when he gets back. Go ahead, Fernando.
Thank you. I just wanted to say that Civic Center Drive looks really nice. We drove on it, and I thought the turnaround time was I wasn't out there, you know, watching it, but it just seemed like we saw the signs and then all of a sudden it was paved and up and running. So it looks real good. So I'm excited to see that. And they got the nice white lines and it looks like they got the glass chips in them. So they really are reflective. So that'll be good for our students to have should they get to go back to school. So.
Councilmember Osmus and then Councilmember Nelson.
Okay, and I don't expect answers right now, Sean, but I'm just going to throw out what some of my thoughts right when I heard that is the first thing is if we have the weep holes in the wrong place, is that something that we could go back on the person who the contractors on that, whatever? And then are we going to deal with the same issue with some of our other new buildings? Why did, and I want to know why did that happen on this one? Is it the same kind of issue with the block at Miller Park or at the new Four Seasons shelter? It just doesn't seem like it's that old to have that kind of issue to deteriorate at the base. But I don't need answers right now.
I could give you short answers right now. Again, it's like, say, we're still trying to figure all this out. For both might be no. I'm not sure we could go back on the contractor. It's been 16 years, believe it or not. It was 04 when that was put up. Yeah. So we're still researching exactly what happened. Okay. The as-built drawings that we looked at today show everything in the correct location. So we don't know yet. We've got to get some other more evaluation to really answer that one. Will it happen on the new ones? Again, I would say a short answer, no. Because this one was designed and the as-built include or indicate that it was correct. So should not happen on the new ones either.
Go ahead, Audrey.
I'm switching subjects, but I took another complaint about the finishing of the streets from last year, the 13th, 14th, 15th over there by Lakeland Drive. Regarding the grass. However, I did observe that they have recently just put down new grass, sprayed grass, is that the way to say it? But my question is it still their responsibility to make sure that it's watered and grows, or when are they done over there, or what needs to be done yet?
Yeah, we struggled getting on the scheduling with the contractor to get them back in and do that. There was something that happened, you know, last year, a lot of the grass, at least around here, that was put down had to be reseeded this spring. And I'm not sure what the answer to that is, but in most cases, it's been taken care of. And we also recommend to all property owners, once it is put down, the contractor's responsibility kind of ends and it's up to the homeowner to water that up and obviously maintain it as their lawn.
Thank you. That's what I was trying to clarify, is when is the contractor's responsibility done? So thank you.
Yeah, and I just to follow on that, because that's where my daycare that I utilize is located, as well as I have a family member that lives over there, and I ever so gently reminded them that if the contractor gets the hydro seed down, you can't necessarily just expect the grass to grow. You got to have heat, sun, water, and they're not going to be providing the heat, the sun, or the water. So I recommended that the next time the hydro seed got put down, get some sprinklers on it ASAP. And looks like they have, because looks like they're already starting to get some action in the bright sun. So Fernando, did you have another item?
Yes. Are we are your guys getting pulled into private lawns to mow this year, or how's that going so far? I was just wondering how that's going.
Yeah, that's about the same as it's been every year. I don't have, you know, I could get them, but I don't have number of notices we've sent out. But yes, we have mowed some, and yes, we have billed or put on the property tax statements the property owners, and we've sent out a significant number of certified mailings to the unfortunately, some of the same repeat offenders as previous years. But that's all still going, I would say normal, status quo, whatever you want to say. We've been doing that.
Okay, I got one more question. Excuse me. In your observations, do you think the mow-in is catching on, or do you still think that, I've seen it around, but I think it's less, and maybe I'm not as in tune to it. What's your observation?
You know, I think it has. I think whether it's by reminder of city personnel or listening to council meetings or some of Sarah's posts on social media, I think it is catching on. I think I agree with you. I've seen some people with their blowers out and blowing it back up the driveway or back out of the gutter. I see less and less of people specifically shooting those the grass out into the street. So I'd like to think so, and I would hope that it is catching on and becoming less of an issue.
Yeah, I'd like to think so also. Thank you.
Audrey, go ahead.
Sorry, just two more. In the comment regarding lawns, it seems like we've got a bunch of businesses that are looking a little tacky too. And do those same notices go out to businesses? And I mean, even the railroad along Highway 12, you know, that's been a point of concern when it comes to what we're trying to do with the Renaissance Zone also. So just curious about the businesses. And then my last question is that we have still some lights that were not finished painting black. Just wondered if we're finishing them this year.
First question, businesses are not exempt from our wrath, if you will. We do send them notices. We do mow businesses. Railroad is one of the repeat offenders that we have a hard time getting any response, because it seems like all the responses end up in Fort Worth. Well, they don't really seem to care about what happens in Wilmer, Minnesota. So we've had varying degrees of success. Over the course of the last few years, we've had a local rail master. I don't know what their title is. I shouldn't even say it that way, but somebody with the railroad locally that we've had sometimes better luck contacting, getting that taken care of. But yeah, we seem to mow the railroad more than we should. So I guess that's all I need to say on that one. The other question is, what was the question again? I'm sorry.
Sorry, mouse impaired here tonight. The finishing of painting the lights black and the stoplights.
You know, I thought that project was done, but I think, and I might need to get with you offline, Audrey, and get a list of the ones that you're noticing, because some of them, I have to look at the specs and see if we left the top pole galvanized or wanted that black. And so I need to look through that and see, because that's what you're talking about, right? The top horizontal pole, if you will, I think is galvanized in some cases and black in others. And if we want that black, I need to look at the specs and see what we contracted with the contractor.
Well, there's some on Wilmer Avenue and then south that aren't done at all. And then there's one that's half done. And I thought our goal this year was to make sure that all of them were finished, that we didn't just have one here and one there. So that was just my question.
Yeah, no, we only did about six more this year. And so I'm hoping to do a few more each year. So no, they are not all done, but the ones that they did start painting need to be completed. And I'll check on those.
Go ahead, Fernando.
Thank you. It's been so long since we've been together, you know, so I have so many questions. I just want to mention that I've gotten some feedback with some of the new lighting downtown, and I would encourage the public to try to locate it and take a look at it, and
and share their thoughts on it. So there are some new lights to observe in the downtown area, and so just be aware of that. With that being said, I was going to ask Sean, so what kind of feedback are you hearing, or have you gotten any feedback on the lighting downtown, or?
I got to be honest with you, I didn't know the new examples or samples were up. So I would say directly to me, no, I've not received any feedback, but I can check with, you know, Public Works and the guys that are out daily and find out if they have received any.
Good deal. We got lots going on. Lots going on. Sean, you said now no meeting on the 29th?
That's correct.
Okay. Well, then hopefully we have a nice evening and everybody can enjoy themselves and what we have left of summer, then now that it's half over. Any other questions, comments, or suggestions? I would encourage you to send an email to Mr. Christensen. We can definitely get it on a future agenda. If anything important pops up for the committee, you'll all be informed of it. As we talked earlier, I believe there might be something around the bend regarding the Garfield neighborhood. Gonna have to talk to the police chief just a little bit more regarding that one, but we'll take it as it comes. Anything else for the good of the order this evening? Sean first.
Again, with Kelsey right on top of things, I got a list of the poles that were painted this year, streetlight poles. And I'll read them. I can also forward to you, to this committee, so that you have them in front of you. So first in Wilmer, first in Candy Ojai, first in Litchfield Avenue, we painted the heads that were missed the first time around. So those should all be black now. We've also added first in Trot has been painted, first in Ella has been painted, Highway 71 and Civic Center Drive, Lakeland and Highway 12, and then 2nd and 3rd Street with Highway 12. So if some of those are not completed, I need to look at the specs and find out exactly what we asked for and if we got what we spec'd out.
Thanks, Sean. Thank you, Kelsey, as well. Fernando, did I see your hand up?
Yeah, you did. I just wanted to thank you for doing a nice job on the meeting tonight, Andrew. You do a great job, and you don't often hear it enough, but you keep it flowing, and you do a nice job. Thank you very much.
Well, that's very kind of you. I appreciate it. Hope that we have the time to cover the issues thoroughly, but that we're not wasting anybody's time, and that the committee meeting process that we all voted in favor of keeping, this kind of helps us meld together. I feel like we get a real good in-depth understanding and analysis of the projects and the that we're doing and the money that we're spending. And so I hope everybody feels as though it's time well spent. I certainly appreciate, I'm going to bounce the comments right off. Yeah, Kelsey's right on the ball tonight with that information, and she's certainly a wealth of knowledge. And it shows us as council members how important support staff is as well to our directors and to others in the organization. It's all one big machine that needs to function cohesively. And I think our committee does a fairly good job at iterating that. So my salute to everybody. Anything else before we depart this evening? Motion. All right. Have a motion to adjourn.
I'm moved.
We are adjourned. Thank you, everybody. Have a good evening. Enjoy the sunshine.